Jesus. Amen. Amen. We do have a couple of needs that we need to pray about before we get started. The Royal Rangers are going to be going to what's called Camp-A-Rama. That is, it's all the way back in St. Louis, Missouri. They leave Friday for that, and they'll be leaving and going to that. And then, and so we want to pray for them. And also, John, who has been coming to our church for about a month now, and playing the guitar and starting to join our worship team. He hasn't taken off. He just had surgery, an emergency surgery. I found out. He called me last night and told me that he'd had an emergency surgery, and will be out for about 4 weeks in recovery. And so he had actually lost almost half of his blood, and had to have emergency surgery. So he's not quite his oil level hasn't reached the full maximum yet, so he's still a little bit weak. And so they did do some transfusion on him and stuff, so we do want to keep him in prayer for recovery, and so that he gets kind of going again and getting right back on track. Okay, that was John. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. We thank you so much for just the people that have been a part of this church and are a part of this church that right now are not feeling well, like Gus, for example, who's still in the nursing home. Gus, we just lift up Gus to you, and we lift up John to you, and Leslie and Eric Rickles, and just anyone else that just needs a fresh touch from you in a healing power of God that would just come in and touch and minister to them and help speed the recovery and the restoration to their body. Father, you would not want that any of us would be sick or downtrodden with any of these kind of things. And so, God, we just believe right now for a restoration to all these bodies and to these people right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray for the upcoming Royal Ranger Camp-A-Rama out in Springfield, Missouri, that Father, you would just do an incredible work with those Royal Rangers out there, that you would put a hedge of protection around every ranger and commander that is traveling from all over the United States to go to this event. And God, we pray that that you would keep them safe, and when they get there, God, that they would be met by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would work miracles in these young men's lives, that it would change and transform them. That, Father, even the commanders would sense the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in their own lives. And, God, we just pray that you would just do a miraculous work in that camp. Let it be great and beneficial to even the young men that are leaving from this church to go. And our commander, Father, we just pray that you would touch and minister to them. Father, we just give you all the praise, all the glory. We know that you're watching out for each and every one of us. And that's a busy job, but you're a big God. And God, we just pray that you'd continue to work in our lives and challenge us. Challenge us with your word today, God, as we study your word. Let it just open up to our hearts and our minds just the process in which you would want to grow your word in us. And God, we just give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hi, honey. Good job, worship team. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Love it when the Spirit of the Lord is in the house. Amen. So I don't want to bring any attention to anyone, okay? But when babies cry and stuff like that, it does not bother me at all, okay? Okay, so I just want you to know that right up front. It doesn't bother me at all, so don't let it bother you, okay? And so if you do get uncomfortable, we do have a closed-circuit TV that actually shows the service in here, back there in the nursery, if that becomes something that you desire. But for me, it doesn't have to be. You can sit right here and they can cry the whole time and I will preach without a problem. Okay? Just, I'm not trying to draw any attention to anyone who might have children that this might affect. But I'm just letting you know that those things are available. But we, I'm not bothered in the least. And the reason I'm not bothered is because I'll tell you, because I don't know if all of you know this, the first church I ever pastored was in a mental institution. And they would buzz me in, and then I would go in and I would preach in this mental institution. And people from the mental institution would come in the room while I was preaching, and they would walk around me and scream and they try to disrupt the service all the time. And so I just learned while in my early ministry how to just keep going when there's distractions. And so it was a wonderful experience for me. So nothing bothers me while I'm preaching. So so I just thought I'd let you know that. So it was a wonderful ministry. One I don't know if I was called to, but I certainly enjoyed. And so God did a good work there. So anyway, so today I'm gonna talk to you about planting. The planting of the seed is the title of my message, the planting of the seed. And it was interesting because this morning, Sherry said to me, she said, you know, I was wondering about this, because of this attack of vertigo on me. She goes, I was wondering about this because whenever you preach and teach on faith and believing God and standing on the word of God and all that stuff, somehow, some way, that there just seems to be an attack on you every time that happens. And she goes, I kind of been waiting to see what it was going to be this time. And I was like, well, what? And I tell people this all the time. Look, the word of God is absolutely true. There is no doubt in my mind that the word of God is absolutely true. And none of our lives are a proof text, including mine, are a proof text to the word of God. In other words, whether I can get the word to work in my life or not doesn't make it true or not true. The word is true all alone. It doesn't need my help. I don't need to be healed to prove that the word of God provides for healing. Does that make sense? And so, but I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen. And I believe that with all my heart. I live it. I breathe it. I walk it out in my life. And sometimes I have to lay down until my head stops spinning and believe it. Okay. But I believe it. I believe that God's word is absolutely true. So anyways, let's get started. Hang on a sec while I straighten this out. No, I just went to read page one, and it just happens to be page three, and for some reason, I have Oh Praise Him as well here. Okay. Oh, this is... So, I'm having this trouble with, you know, vertigo and things spinning in my mind and stuff. And so my wife on that particular Sunday mixes up the pages of my sermon. How pleasant. Oh, that's just great. Okay, let's start in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and 9. And it says here, this is the, I don't know what it is. It's the Good News Translation. That's what it is. I planted the seed, Apollos watered the plant, but it was God who made the plant grow. And then verse 9 says, for we are partners working together for God, and you are God's field. You know, it's interesting, this first text was the first text that I preached in this church. It had to have been, how long has it been, Dorothy? Almost 7 years? Has it been almost 7 years? It's been almost 7 years, huh? I'm finishing up my sixth year here, and we're about to start my seventh year here. It could be really close to about the right time, because this is Little League time, so yeah. But I preached this message on 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. When I first took this church, that was the first message I ever preached here in this church, and it was about thing. And the title of the message was "The Same but Different." and that I was going to preach the same gospel, that I was going to minister and I was going to pastor and I was going to do all the things that the previous pastor did, only it was going to be different. And so, because I love this scripture where it says that Paul planted the seed and then Apollos watered and God got the increase. I love that scripture. I think that's how ministry works. And so, but today I'm going to kind of take a different direction on this. Paul planted the seed. I plant the seed. I think we all, without a doubt, wonder how to get God's promises to be fulfilled in our lives. I think we all wonder at times, how do I get God's promise to be fulfilled? I see the promise, but how do I get it to manifest itself in my life? How do I get it to come out and begin to produce fruit in my life and begin to reveal itself in my life? Everyone on earth has been bought with a price. Every one of us. You know, I've often said this, and I know some people might not think it's all that theologically correct. I do. So that's all that's important really to me. But I believe that there's only one thing that people will be judged for in the end, and that is their acceptance of Jesus Christ, period. Because Jesus died for the sins, for all sin. The debt for sin for all of mankind has been paid, period. There's no sin unpaid for, okay? All the sins of Hitler were paid for, every one of them, by Jesus on the cross. Now, whether Hitler received that into his life, whether he received Christ into his life and the redemptive power of the forgiveness of those sins was completely up to Hitler. Does that make sense? And so we'll not be judged necessarily for our sins, but what we'll be judged for, because Christ paid for those sins, but what we'll be judged for is whether we knew Christ and whether Christ knew us and whether we accepted him as our Savior. And so every one of us has been bought with a price to be the Lord's garden, to in which his incorruptible seed is to grow and cultivate and produce its wonders. God's word is to grow in his field, is to grow in us, and we are to cultivate it. We are to help it grow. God helps it grow. It begins to grow in us and then produces fruit. Real Christians are God's farm. We're his husbandry. We're his field. We're his garden. A field belongs to the owner. Okay, and we are the field of God. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. He said, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We belong to God. We are to, with this vessel, this field that God has paid for, I am to allow the word of God, the seed of God, the incorruptible seed of God to be planted in me and then to produce a harvest. That is the purpose for my life. That once Christ paid for my life, the purpose of my life is to begin to produce fruit for God and to begin to glorify him in what I do and how I act. God holds the title deed to us. We are absolutely his, and we belong to him by right of creation, by right of preservation. I mean, you know, when you think about it, God created us. He could have wiped us out, and he didn't. But the greatest fact is that we belong to him by right of redemption, because he bought us with an infinite price to be his field. He bought us. He paid the price that we could not pay. Christ paid for us what we would, a debt that we could not pay and cannot pay. And so with Christ, we become God's field, so that he can begin to allow his seed to be planted in us and to grow up and to produce fruit. Paul said in Corinthians, I planted the seed. In the parable of the sower, Jesus said, the seed is the word of God. Peter said in 1 Peter 2, in 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. You and I are no longer, okay, if anything, God always made us to be a field. He produced us, he created us to be a field in which seed could be planted, harvested, and fruit would grow within our field. God always created us to be a field that would produce fruit. Now, during the fall, we began to be planted with corruptible seed, seed that would produce no good fruit. The fruit that we bared before most of us got saved, if we turned our lives over to Jesus when we were real early in life, we probably didn't produce a lot of terrible seed, although or a lot of terrible fruit, rather. But I know me, I got saved when I was 25, when I was in jail. And believe me, prior to that, I sowed some corruptible seed. The things that were growing in my life were horrible. And I needed the rototiller power of God to come in and turn the soil of my heart and my life. Turn it over. I turned my life over to Christ. He became the farmer of the field of my life. He came in and began to plow up my life and to turn the ground and to rotate the ground so that he could put fresh seed into the ground, so that he could put his incorruptible seed into my ground. Now, it's my position, and I'll talk probably more about this next week, is making sure that I keep it weeded. But once I plant that incorruptible seed, it can, if properly watered, grow into incredible things. God brings about his wondrous harvest in the same way a farmer does. In Luke chapter 8, verse 5, Jesus said, and the sower went out to sow his seed. It is God's word, or the seed, that lets us know what we can trust him for. In other words, it's his word. It's the word of God that lets us know what we can trust him for the harvest to come in. Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our faith, our trust, our knowing of what kind of fruit we will begin to bear comes from the word of God and your knowledge of the word of God. It is God's will for us to understand and to know his word, the seed. It's his desire for us to know this. It's his desire for us to understand that it will accomplish signs, wonders, miracles in our lives. God wants to plant his seed, and he wants to plant all of it. Listen, there are rows and rows of seed God wants to plant into your life. But the only way to know that is through the revelation of the word. You know, I'm going to close with this statement as well, but I wonder how many of us know what's in our garden right now, what's in our field. How many of us know what seeds have been planted in our lives? I mean, probably I would say most of us know that the seed of salvation has been planted in our lives. We've accepted Jesus as our Savior, and that seed is growing. And if we were to go out and look in our imaginary minds at our field right now, if we were to look at that, that would be one good-looking plant right there. Look at that plant. I'm saved. Woo, that plant looks good. But what other plants are growing? Are we believing God for miracles in knowing him better and in the knowledge of God? Because if you lack wisdom, you can ask for it. You can plant a seed and ask for wisdom, the Bible says. It's a promise from God that if you lack wisdom in anything, that you can plant the seed of God into that situation and watch that wisdom grow. So are there plants of wisdom growing in your life? Are there plants of peace growing in your life? Are there plants of joy growing in your life? What is in your garden right now? What seeds have you discovered from the Word of God that you have planted in your own life and that you're looking forward to the full harvest? You're looking forward to that. I'm good. Don't worry. God's purpose in creating seed was that it might be planted in good ground where it could germinate and grow and bring forth fruit. So Paul said, I planted the seed. The seed is powerless unless it is planted. The infinite price God paid for the field reveals the importance of the planting of the incorruptible seed. All of God's wonderful works are potentially in the seed. So in other words, everything, God's whole purpose was that he would have a place to plant his word. That he would have good ground to plant his word. That he would have good ground to plant his promises. That he would have good ground to plant and he could produce fruit. God desires that you would be good ground. That you would be prepared. You know, when you come on Sunday mornings, you should be prepared to receive the seed. You know, I used to say all the time that when the Word of God is being preached, that the seed is being spread out. That the seed, when I preach the Word of God, the seed is going out there. What you do with it is your own thing. And I'll tell you exactly what happens. I'll tell you exactly what happens. This is what happens. I preach the Word, and you sit there, some of you, and you go, wow. That was a good word, Pastor. Oh, I needed to hear that. Now, it might not be today, but you've said it in the past, hopefully. And you say, wow, that was a good word. And you walk out the door, and you get to the restaurant, and the waitress says, so, did you guys just come from church? And you say, yeah. Oh, really? Well, I'm not able to go to church because I work on Sunday. So was it good? Was the pastor's message good? Oh, it was good. It was so good. Oh, man, it was awesome. What was it about? I don't remember, but it was good. When I was there, it was good. And you know what? Here's what it is. Is the seed gets spread out. And I always tell people this, look, you need to kick a little dirt on it before you go home. Because there are crows that sit right outside here that swoop down and they pick off that seed right off the top of your head. When you walk out there, it's like your cranium is fully exposed to the crows that are out there. And the crows swoop down and they start picking away at that seed and they start taking every little thing right off. Whoop, 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 whoop. And they take it off that and off they go. Like, oh, look at that. And then you walking away going like, well, it's a good message, but I can't remember nothing because the crows grabbed all the seed. And so God would want you to have good ground where you're ready to receive the word. And when you receive it, you begin to put some dirt over it. So when you walk outside, the crows sit out there and go, where did the seed go? They didn't get any seed today? Because it's all covered up by the Holy Ghost. Amen? By that Holy Ghost dirt. That's just an analogy I like to share with people because the seed is always there to be planted. The seed is there. God, his whole desire is for you to be this unbelievable Garden of Eden in your own life. He expects the garden to just explode in you. Because all these seeds are ready to be planted and to germinate and to grow and to reap a harvest. For God's glory. David said in Psalms 111, verses 7 and 9, the work of his hands are faithful and just. All of his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever. Enacted by faithfulness and uprightness. He provides He provides redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The work, God's work is done in faithfulness to his promise. If you are faithful to plant, he's faithful to water. He's faithful to grow it. The devil wins when the seed is not planted, watered and allowed to grow. The devil wins. When we are not cultivating the word of God in our lives, when we are not planting seed in our lives on a regular basis, when we are not allowing God to trim back the plants we do have and to grow even more fruit, when we're not allowing God to work in our garden, okay, and to continue to do those, the devil wins. The enemy wins. God designed us all, designed for all of us, that we would spend our lives making possible the germination and growth of the incorruptible seed. Our whole design is to plant these incorruptible seeds that cannot be corrupted in our lives. The problem is that we spend a lot of time sowing corruptible seed amongst our incorruptible seed, and then it chokes it out. And we don't see the fruit of those things. Nothing can take the place of the seed. Not even prayer. Pastor, are you saying we shouldn't pray? Oh, no way. I'm just saying that nothing can replace the seed. Because you can idly make prayer about nothing. But when your prayer is laced with the seed of the Word of God, in the promises of God, and you begin to pray the word of God over situations and plant them into the situations of your life, and you begin to plant these seeds of promises through prayer into your life, whoo, the harvest will be great. But you have to plant the seed, and the seed is the word of God. You cannot plant your own thoughts. You have to plant the thoughts of God, the word of God, into these situations. You wonder why you can't, you keep asking God for things and you don't see a harvest? It's because maybe you're not planting the seed of God, the incorruptible seed. Maybe what you're planting is corruptible seed that you'll use after your own ill-gotten gain. Rather than planting the incorruptible seed of God, which will be for his glory. And will bring him glory. Is your ground righteous and washed in the blood of Jesus, fertilized by the blood of Jesus? The only purpose for God's promises is their fulfillment. Let me say that again, because we really need to get this. The only purpose for God's promises is their fulfillment. God didn't say it for it not to happen. He did not promise you salvation for you to miss it. He did not promise you healing for you to be sick. He did not promise you prosperity in your life for you to be poor, broken down, always in need. He did not promise peace, joy, love, happiness, and joy in Jesus Christ in you for it not to be true. Now, Pastor, are you saying that everything will be a rose garden from here on out and I'll never have another challenge? No, of course not. You're going to have challenges, but I've always said this. Your perspective is different when you're with Christ. I'm adding this. This is not in my notes, but I feel like I want to share this. When a situation comes upon you, does it come upon you? Does it come upon you? Or do you look at the situation from above, from a position of a victory in Christ? Because, listen, I always try to use this illustration. I know a lot of you know it, but you know the movie The Rock? Okay. Remember when they come into the shower scene and the bad guys are all up on top, you know, along the top row there, you know, and all the good guys are down below. And the guy says, you need to surrender because you're in a position where you cannot win. We're in a higher position. We have the elevated position of victory. And so you need to surrender. And then somebody stumbles and falls and, you know, the guns go off and all the guys on the bottom get blown away. But the truth is that if you're in a battle, the position to be in is the higher ground. It is a position of victory. The one who holds the higher ground wins the battle. The one who holds the lower ground will sacrifice more and lose more because they're just in a bad position. So in Christ, that's why Christ says you are above and not beneath. You are the head and not the tail. That's the promise he makes you. And the promise is that when in Christ, you rise above situations. So do bad things happen? Yes, but our perspective is different because we're in a position of victory. Because we're rising up with Christ according to his word, and we're in a position of victory over whatever situation we're going through. And it's not the situation hasn't overcome us. We have overcome it by the power of God, and we rise to a position of victory in Christ. If you could visualize what I'm talking about in your struggle, in your prayer life, if you could in your prayer life, as you pray the seed or the word of God into a situation, if you could begin to see yourself in prayer, rise above the situation and begin to attack the situation from on high, from the power of God from on high. If you could begin to see the strategy of victory there, your prayer life will go through the roof. You'll begin to see an increase in the things you're praying about because you're not praying out of a desperation beneath something, but out of a victory above it. And a victory to overcome it. Does it make sense to you? And so God has all his whole purpose. Every promise are all a revelation of what he is eager to do in us. Every promise in the word of God, every command in the word of God is what he's eager to begin to do in us. The incorruptible seed that is in us and growing in us is set for victory. It's set to produce fruit. It's set for us because that's God's design. For God's design for us to have victory. And listen, I'm telling you, the ultimate victory is when we're standing next to him in heaven, isn't it? Amen? So that is the ultimate victory. And so though this fleshly body is perishing, my spiritual body is getting stronger and stronger every day. Because my outward body, which one day will be replaced with a body that is not corruptible. Listen, the sin of this world corrupts this body. But the power of God that is in me is greater than the power of this world to corrupt this body too quickly. Amen? I am here until God is done with me. Amen? And I will leave the day he is done with me. Amen? And I hope that when he takes me home, it'll be in a fiery chariot and all you get to watch. But hey, I'm telling you right now, I'm just kidding. But I honestly believe that God will keep us. Do you not believe that? I honestly believe God will keep us. If we will rise up and let this incorruptible seed begin to grow in us and begin to produce a harvest. Peter, with the help of the Holy Spirit, described it in this way in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Oh man, we are partakers of the very divine nature of God. The nature of God now grows in you. The nature of God is an exceedingly great promise that grows in you, and the very nature of God is in you. The incorruptible nature of God grows in you. Amen? The greatest of these exceeding great and precious promises, or seeds, are seen in their ability to meet our needs and to fill all our capabilities. There are a wondrous number of things that God could do in us and be in us and grow through us. Amen? But it is incredible. I mean, I don't know about you, but I know I'm not supposed to, because I'm a believer and I should have faith and believe that all these things, but I still find it awesome when he works in my life. When I pray and I plant the seed and then I see the harvest, I still think it's awesome. I just glory in the fact that I was used, that God did something miraculous. When I see someone get healed, when you pray for them and they get healed, oh, I still get a joy that is just unspeakable when I see the power of God operating through people and through things and in situations. When I see a miracle of God happen, I think it's incredible. I mean, I remember when I prayed for a man who was completely deaf, and he heard. Now, he couldn't speak because he'd never heard before, but he was pointing at the speakers and he said, I mean, he could hear. It was incredible. And I am not sure to this day who was more excited, him or me. Because it was incredible. I thought, wow. I started jumping around looking for people in wheelchairs. I wanted to see just more stuff. I was like, whoa, this is awesome. We've seen people with glaucoma completely healed of glaucoma. I've seen people that are on depression medicine come and say, Pastor, they want to put me on more depression medicine. And so I pray for them, and then they go back to the doctor and they say, there's no signs of depression in you anymore. We're going to completely take you off of all the meds. I've seen people with cancer just gone from their bodies. I've seen legs grow out. I've seen backs straighten up. I've seen crippled people throw down their cane and run around the church. Miracles of God. Seeds that are planted. Because why? Because he promised them. Because he wants to fulfill them. It's his desire to do that. It is the business of Christians to prove to the world by actual demonstration that the promises of God are true today as they were 2,000 years ago. It's your job to pray for the coworker. It's your job to see a miracle happen in their lives. When they're sitting there at lunchtime and they're telling you how rotten their husband is, it's your job to reach over and pray and see a miracle happen. That's your job. It's our job to plant the seed into God's fields so that they might reap a harvest. The incorruptible seed of God. You don't have to just plant them in your own life. There, listen, every field is God's. Every person that's out there has been purchased by God, whether they know it or not. And the incorruptible seed can be planted in them and can grow into a great harvest. It's our responsibility to begin to demonstrate that it is that God is the same today, yesterday, and as he was 2,000 years ago. They were given to know, the promises of God were given to know and to recognize, to claim, and to plead in prayer. In Romans chapter 4, verse 12, God speaks of Christians as those who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham prayed and believed God. Meaning that we should all treat every promise of God exactly as Abraham treated God's promise to him. We're to treat every single promise of God just like Abraham treated his promise. Abraham put away all doubt, put away all those things, and began to seek after the things of God. Began to go after the things of God. That was what Abraham decided to do. That Abraham decided to put off everything that brought doubt into him and believe the word of God. And that's what we're to do. We're to do that same thing. Can it be that God is less real to the men of the Holy Spirit dispensation than he was to those who lived in the shadow of better things? In other words, the Holy Spirit is here with us today. The dunamis power, Acts chapter 2, verse 4. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit so that we might have power to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to set every man free. Just like Jesus said from the book of Isaiah, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to set free the captives. That's what God has given to each and every one of us. And can it be in this dispensation of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, can it be that we are less enlightened by the power of God than those who lived in an era of the shadow of what was to come? Hebrews chapter 6 or chapter 8 verse 6 says, but now he has ordained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he, Christ, is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. We have better promises now than the old covenant, people. The new covenant is better than the old. Can it be that the miracles that we read about in the Old Testament are somehow greater than the miracles we should be seeing in the New Testament? Oh, please, don't tell me it's so. You and I are more in touch with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit than ever. We should understand the power that God wants to demonstrate through his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We should understand that greater today than ever before. Jesus said to some of the Jews, my word hath no place in you. What place should the word have of God have in our lives? It ought to obtain and retain in an inside place of our thoughts, our memories, our conscience, our affections. It ought to obtain and retain in us a place of honor and reverence, faith and love and obedience. It ought to retain and obtain a place in us of authority. Too many people are discounting the authority of the Holy Word of God today. They're saying, well, people, it is what it is. You don't like it, don't live by it. You know, I didn't write the book. I didn't, so don't blame me. I didn't write the book. I'm just trying to live by it. By his grace, by his mercy, I'm trying to live by the book. I'm not trying to rewrite it. I'm not trying to live a lifestyle that is contrary to the word of God and say I am a Christian. Just stop saying you're a Christian. Just go live your own lifestyle. That's part of what freedom is about. You have the freedom to do that. Quit dragging the Holy Scriptures down with you. They don't need to be dragged down. The Scriptures are absolutely true. And I'm telling you, if we plant the incorruptible seed in our lives will be magnificent. Absolutely magnificent. Millions of people have sang standing on the promises of God. Well, the fact is that most of the church never claims most of the promises in the Word of God. Standing on the promises of God means to get them fulfilled. It means to appropriate the blessing of each promise reveals. It means to pray the prayer of faith and to see them fulfilled. Neglecting them is the equivalent of undoing what the fulfillment would mean, what it would really accomplish. I mean, I often think that when we get to heaven, The reason that we're going to be crying mostly, because it says that every tear will be wiped away. I think what will be exposed to us is not the sin of our lives, but the failure to plant the incorruptible seed in every situation. Our failure, you know, I've said this before to people. I would rather get to heaven and have God say, "You did too much," than you did too little. I mean, wouldn't it be great if you're standing there right before God and God looks at you and says, and I'm just using me as an example, says, "Pastor Tim, man, I'm so mad at you right now." "Well, why is that, Lord?" "Well, because you told everyone that they could get saved. And I had to save people I didn't want to save. You told people that my healing was for everyone, and that I would heal them if they would just believe in me. And so I healed them, and I didn't really want to heal them. You told them that everybody could be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I really didn't want to fill everybody up with the Holy Ghost. I just wanted to save that for a few special people. And you made me fill everybody up with the Holy Ghost." Man, I'd much rather have them tell me that than say, "Tim, why didn't you pray for the sick? Why didn't you tell that guy that he could get saved, that he could know Jesus? Why didn't you tell everybody that the Holy Spirit was for every single person and that they could all be filled and not one person would have to go without the Holy Spirit? Why didn't you tell them that?" I'd much rather have them be disappointed I did too much than disappointed that I didn't do enough. Because that would be the tear in my eye, is that I didn't do what he wanted me to do. You know, there's a song I just get all tore up every time I hear it. It's called "Thank You." Do you guys remember that song by Chuck Girard? Ray Bolts. Yeah, by Ray Bolts. It's called "Thank You." And there's a scripture in there that says, you know, that a missionary came to my church and you gave a dollar, came to your church and you gave a dollar. And it's about these people thanking you for the little things that you did along the way, you know. And there's a little black guy that I've never met, I'll get it together in just a sec. Sorry, I'm not gifted in crying and talking at the same time. There's a little black guy who came to a church came to a jail down on North 5th Street on an Easter Sunday. In 1986. Never met him. Still have never met him. I know he's probably gone on to be with the Lord because he was old then. And he said, "Does anyone here want to know Jesus as their Savior?" And I raised my hand. And I prayed the prayer, and he left, and I went back to my cell. And I've never met him, but there's going to come a day when I'm in heaven, and I'm standing in his line, and I'm going to say, "Look at all of what you've done. Thank you." See, Paul planted the seed. He was excited to plant the seed. We should be excited to plant the incorruptible seed. Matthew 13:26 says, But he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Do you understand today better the imperishable seed that God has for us to plant? The harvest we'll talk about next week, the watering next week. But the planting of the seed that guarantees 100, 60, 30, a fold. It guarantees a harvest if we'll plant the seed. In the beginning of the church, they said, then those who gladly received the word of God were baptized, and that day about 3,000 were added to the church. That was the beginning of the church. Paul preached, planted the seed, and 3,000 people got saved that day and baptized. 3,000 people. In the plainest Bible text, there is a world of blessing. Just as in a little seed, there is a potential tree that will grow a million times bigger than that tree. One verse of scripture allowed to germinate in the heart of in the human heart may grow into a harvest of thousands of conversions and eternal glory that follows. One seed planted on an Easter Sunday in 1996 changed, and I can say this honestly, over the last 20 years, hundreds of lives. One seed planted grew into a harvest. I'm no Billy Graham, but I'm doing what God's called me to do. One kernel of wheat can in time cover a continent and feed a nation. The results of a cultivating incorruptible seed are much greater and much more desirable for eternal benefits in all of heaven. The only incorruptible seed can bring about imperishable results. You know, when you plant a seed in someone, it will not return void. It will accomplish the work. That's what the Bible promises. Every single seed brings forth after its kind. Each promise is a blessing. It reveals the nature. You know, and this is where I was going to talk a little bit about this. What seeds do you have planted in your garden? What are you believing God for? What miraculous, miracle things are you believing God for? What have you planted in your own garden? What are you planting in other people's gardens? What are you planting in your children's gardens, in your kids, and in your grandkids? What are you planting? What seeds? What promises of the Word of God are you planting into their lives that will grow into a harvest? You know, I have three boys, or four boys. I don't know why they still love God with all the struggles we've been through, but they do. The other day, someone said to me, complimented me on just that my boys have grown up to be incredible men of God. And I thought, well, maybe I just see their weaknesses. Because I think they need more, I mean, we all need more work, but all three of them are gladly going to a Christian college. One of them is about to join the service because he wants to be an armed escort for chaplains. Because chaplains don't carry guns. So he wants to eventually get to a position where he can go and go with the chaplain into whatever areas they need to go into and protect them. I'm thinking, wow. And he has the ability to be the chaplain, as far as I'm concerned. But he wants to serve. What seeds have we planted in our children? And are they growing? And what are they producing? What kind of harvest are they growing into? Next week we're going to talk about the watering process and God getting the harvest. But this week I want us to consciously sit down. And I want us to get a piece of paper out, and I want us to write down some seeds we're planting, whether they're in our children's lives, whether we're in our own lives, whether in their lives of friends, relatives, whatever, people that need healing. You know, I want you to write down the seeds that you're planting, the incorruptible seeds that you're planting into the lives of other people, into your own life. I want you to write them down, because throughout the week, I want you to go over them and continue to just meditate on the scripture that you've placed in their spot, the promise that you've found for them in their spot. And some will be repeated promises. If it's in an area of healing, you can find a healing scripture that promises healing and place that seed under their name, and then list however many people that, you know, need healing. Don't just find one for each person, but be led by the Holy Spirit on what scripture plugs into that person and that incorruptible promise, that incorruptible seed that you need to plant next to that person. And then I want you to do it right away. Don't do it right at the end. Do it right away this week, so that in your prayer time this week, in your quiet time, at your lunch time, when you go out, and this week, if you don't normally do this, go out to your car at lunch, you know, or go out to some quiet place and get that list out and read over that list. Read over those imperishable seeds that you're planting into those people's lives this week for miracles to begin to happen. And just begin to write those down and go over those, because this is our purpose. Our purpose is to be the planters of the seed of God into people's lives, to see the incorruptible seed of God transform people's lives. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. We thank you for this time that we can gather together and that we can study your word. I pray, God, that you would not let this word return void in our hearts, that we would take to heart what's been taught to us today about the planting of seeds, and that we would begin to do this immediately, Lord, that we would not, that we would allow these things to begin to work in a miraculous way. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, you haven't asked Jesus into your heart and your life, or you've drifted from that relationship with Jesus and you want to just pray and you want to make sure that you're in a right relationship with God. If that's you, would you slip your hand up real quickly? We want to pray with you. We don't want to miss an opportunity to pray with you. If that's you, just slip your hand up. Amen. Amen. Lord, I thank you for every individual in this place. I thank you that they've come and they've heard the word of God and that the seed has been planted today in our hearts and our lives. I pray now, God, that you would work on it, that you would continue to cause it to grow and to germinate in our hearts and our lives and grow into a great harvest. Father, I thank you for every single person in this church. Let them be blessed throughout this week. Let them have opportunity to share your word and to share the testimony of their own lives, how you have changed them and transformed them. God, we just give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for your wonderful work that you're doing in us. Continue to do it. Don't give up on us, God. Don't give up on us. We love you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.